Well, now that Christmas is over, I have a lot more free time. If anybody else in the same boat as me has a little more time, even though we look a lot of teachers here, we get time off of school, we get time off of work, but yet it seems so busy. And it's especially busy if you're traveling over the holidays. Anybody travel? Yeah. Whenever we travel, you know, you want to see as many people as you can when you get back home. You want to try to fit as much into a small amount of time as possible. So even though it's impossible to do, you want to see as many people that you know and love in that time when you're back home. So whenever we are home, it's always nice when you run into people unexpectedly. Like this past Friday, not just the other day, but 2 Fridays ago, Sonia and I went out to eat with my older brother and his wife. And as we walked into the restaurant, we were surprised to see a couple of our friends. We saw our friends Norma and we saw our friends Ben. Now Norma and Ben were not sitting together at the same table. They were sitting kind of back to back at adjacent tables, and I don't even think they really realized that the other person was really there. And to tell you the truth, it would kind of surprise me if they were to sit together, if they were to go anywhere together, because Norma and Ben are extremely different from one another. They're completely polar opposites from one another. Norma is a well-educated, well-respected woman in her mid-50s. She's very pious, very well-known throughout the city, throughout that area. Ben, on the other hand, is a little more rough around the edges. He's a little more crass. He's tattooed from head to toe along a 6'2" frame. He has piercings in his ears, in his lip right here, in his tongue, and elsewhere that you don't see every day. Let you use your imagination. So this is Ben. He looks kind of like a rough guy. He's not the kind of guy that you would walk, you know, up to on the street and introduce yourself. He's probably more like the kind of guy you would cross the street just to avoid, because you might be a little bit afraid of him. Now, as different as Norma and Ben are, they do have some similarities. You see, both Norma and Ben are followers of Jesus Christ. They're both Christians. Now, Norma looks more like the average Christian. She looks more like a person that you would expect to see in a church on a Sunday morning. And in fact, Norma is a local pastor. She's a local pastor in the Mennonite Church there in Ohio. Ben, while he looks so much different from Norma, he is also a Christian. He is a part of the last church that Sonia and I were at in Ohio. But Ben doesn't look like he belongs in a church. He looks more like he belongs in a biker gang than in a church. But these people are both followers of Jesus Christ. They are both Christians. And to this day, they continue to seek Jesus Christ with their lives. Now, our scripture for today that Danny read for us a few minutes ago also tells the story of another unexpected seeker of Jesus Christ. We learn the story about the Magi. And the Magi are a very, very strange group of people. They're not the kind of people that you would expect to find seeking Jesus Christ. And today I would like to look at this passage that Danny read for us about the Magi. And I'd like to list out 3 specific points. The first is that God calls all people to search for Jesus Christ. The second point is that God can use people's sinfulness to lead them to Jesus Christ. And the third point for this morning that I want to present to you is more of a question. And that question is, who will we invite into God's house in 2008? So if we begin in the scripture that was read for us a few minutes ago, in Matthew chapter 2, we have the story of these searchers for Jesus Christ. We have the story of these people that seek out to find this person who was born, King of the Jews. Now, many of our contemporary versions, I believe Danny used probably the New King James Version. I have the NRSV here, New Revised Standard Version. Many of our contemporary versions describe these people as wise men. Sometimes tradition calls them the 3 kings or priests. But the word that Matthew uses in his gospel is the word magi. Now, magi literally translated means sorcerer. It means that these people were practicing magic. The word magi is used elsewhere in the Bible, also used to describe Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. If you look at the word magi, it's closely related to our English word magic. So it's an easy way to remember what magi means. So these people were not Christians. They were pagans. They were living lives that were sinful. Lives that were displeasing to God. But for some reason, we try to clean them up a little bit in our Gospels. We try to make them sound more appealing to us by calling them wise men, or kings, or priests. Now, whenever we try to clean them up like this, I think that we're stealing something from them. We're taking away from their witness, and we're taking away from their story. We're taking away from the fact that God called these people who are living sinful lives. God called them to be searchers for Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about my friend Ben that I introduced you to a few minutes ago, there's many times that I've just wanted to clean that boy up a little bit. You know, I'm sure his mother probably feels the same way from time to time. I'd like to put him in a shirt and tie for church on Sunday. I'd like to take out a few of those piercings and let him close up. But as I thought about doing these things, I realized that if we were to clean Ben up, that we would be taking away from him. We would be robbing him of something. First of all, we would be robbing him of who he is. Because if we made him look more like me, he would no longer be the Ben that I know. He would be another Kevin. And if we were to clean Ben up like this, we would be taking away from some of his witness, some of his Christian story, and some of his background. And you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take away from Ben's witness. Because Ben has an amazing story. You see, this guy's been through a lot, and it's really inspiring to hear about where he's been and where he is today. He's a guy that has an illegitimate child with a woman that he barely knows. This is a guy that has stolen things from his own family members, who has been in trouble with the law many times. This is a guy that's been through a lot. But today, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. This guy will celebrate his 3-year wedding anniversary this April. And he and his wife have a lovely 2-year-old daughter together. Ben is actively involved in the church. Just this past Sunday, he sang a solo in the church service. And I tell you, it's something amazing to see a guy stand up in front of the church on a Sunday morning and just sing his heart out. And you can see the ring in his tongue just flutter around. And he's just there praising God for all that God has done for him. You see, we cannot steal these things away from Ben. We can't force him to be one of us, to look like us. He is one of us because he is a follower of Jesus Christ. We cannot take away his witness. It is a part of him. If we try to make him conform to the image of Kevin, well, then we're missing the point. He is to be conformed to the image of Christ. God calls all kinds of people to search for Jesus Christ. God called these sorcerers that we call wise men. And he also calls sinners like these wise men, like the Magi. And he calls sinners like you, and he calls sinners like me, and he calls sinners like Ben to search for Jesus Christ. Now, my second point for this morning is that God uses people's sinfulness to lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at these Magi, we find that they are setting out to find this Christ child, and they are finding direction from something. Well, how did they know that Jesus was born in the first place? How did they know to search for this one born King of the Jews? And how did they know what direction to seek, which direction to set out to find him? What is their sign? They're given a star in the sky. Now, many people have debated just how obvious this star in the sky might have been. Some people say that it was very obvious, that it was just like about here in the sky where that light is, and it was bright, and it was just this burning ball of fire. And the wise men, stop calling them wise men. The Magi, they just knew to follow that burning star in the sky because it was so obvious to them. But if it was so obvious, then why did not more people follow this star? And why don't we have other people that have written about this sight in the sky? I think it's possible that there was something in the sky that was very obvious to them. But I think it's more probable that this star was less obvious, that it was more subtle than what we often assume. Now, some people believe that in those days that there was some kind of a realignment of some stars in the sky. Perhaps there was a comet that came through our solar system. Or perhaps that some of the planets were out of alignment for the time being. Now, many of us wouldn't recognize anything different, would we? I mean, if Jupiter was out of alignment with Saturn, I personally wouldn't know the difference, would you? That would not be obvious to me. I wouldn't notice it. But to the people like the Magi, it would have been obvious. You see, the Magi were more than just sorcerers. They were also astrologers. They looked to the stars to tell them the future And they assumed that they could predict the future just by looking at the way the stars were aligned. Now again, this is a sin based on what God tells us in the Old Testament. Astrology is wrong. But God is able to use this sin to lead the Magi to Christ. Is it too hard to believe that God could use something in our life, even if it's not pleasing to Him, to lead us to Christ? An all-powerful and all-knowing God can use whatever means He wants to lead us to our Savior. Now, I don't believe that God caused the Magi to sin. I don't believe that God led them into this life of sinfulness, of sorcery and astrology. But God uses their sin to lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, in the late 60s and in the early 1970s, there was an up-and-coming lawyer that was getting involved in the world of politics. And this up-and-coming lawyer, he was in charge of writing legal briefs and lobbying for more money for the pro-war funds from the United States. And he came to get this reputation as somebody that would do whatever it took to re-elect President Nixon. He would do whatever it took in the name of Nixon. He was known as Nixon's hatchet man, which is not a good term. He was quoted in a newspaper as saying that he would run over his own grandmother if it would get Richard Nixon reelected. In a meeting, he mentioned one time that he believed that perhaps they should hire thugs to beat up anti-war protesters so that it would not look as bad for the Nixon campaign. He at one time suggested that they should firebomb a building that contained documents that were going to negatively affect the Nixon campaign. And while this guy never did hire the thugs, and while he never did command that there would be firebombing upon this building, he was a part of a group that spent $250,000, $250,000, to have somebody rob an office, have somebody come in and steal documents that were going to negatively affect the Nixon campaign. Now this person and others that were involved got caught. And they got in a lot of trouble because not only did they get caught, they got caught trying to cover it up. And any of you that have ever been caught doing something, you know, if you get caught, you should probably come straight out and say, you know what, I'm guilty. If I got caught by my mother doing something, I know it was best to say, yes, I did it, rather than trying to lie and cover it up. But this guy tried to lie, he tried to cover it up, and he got caught. He got sentenced to jail time, and he got fined, and he got disbarred, which means he could no longer practice law. Now, if you were born before 1970, you probably know what this scandal is called. What is this scandal? It's Watergate. And you probably also know who this up-and-coming lawyer was. Does anybody know his name?
Chuck
Colson. Well, if you know the name Chuck Colson, you probably know that this is not the end of the story for Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson, whenever he was in the middle of all this mess, a friend of him brought him a book. It was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And Colson read that book from cover to cover, and at that time he became a Christian. He became somebody who was searching for Jesus Christ. And now some people accused him of just making this Christian profession so that he could avoid jail time or maybe lessen the charges. But whenever he came out of jail, he was a changed person. He was changed for the better. And Colson began a new program called Prison Fellowship because he believed that the current penal system was not working. There was something wrong with it. And he was set out to change things. He knew that the only way we could really reform people was not through sticking them in a box and leaving them there until their time was up. He realized that the only way to reform people was through Jesus Christ. So he brought them the good news. He began this prison fellowship. And today, he has written about 15 different books on ethics, on Christianity, on government, and on reforming prisoners. He's a sought-after speaker, well-respected. He has his own radio show. Chuck Colson is a speaker in many different venues. People invite him to speak everywhere from Capitol Hill to schools to school, whatever. He's invited to many different places, and he's made a lot of money doing this. He was actually the winner of the 1993 Templeton Award for the Progression of Religion, which is the highest paying reward given to anyone in humanitarian work. It's over $1 million. So all this money that Colson has made from the Templeton Award, from his speaking engagements, and from his book selling, have gone towards prison fellowship. This man, Chuck Colson, has touched so many people's lives because God used his sinfulness to lead him to Christ. Now, I don't believe that God caused Chuck Colson to be Nixon's hatchet man. I don't think God ever intended for Chuck Colson to break into that building and to steal documents or to try to cover this up. But God used his sinfulness to lead him to Christ. And God used his sinfulness to lead many others to Christ as well. We may never know how effective this has been, but we know that Chuck Colson has been a faithful servant. That it all happened because God used his sinfulness to lead him to Christ. Now my third and final question for you today is, who will we welcome into God's house in 2008? If we return to our story about the Magi, we find that the Magi, after they pass through Jerusalem, wind up in the city of Bethlehem. They follow the star, and it's directly above this house. And they rejoice because they believe that the Savior of the world, the one born King of the Jews, is in this house. They enter into the house, they are welcomed in, and they enter in and they worship the living God. Now our scriptures don't tell us that Mary and Joseph were ever skeptical when these people show up. Surely they knew that these people were sorcerers, that they were astrologers, that they were pagans, that they were heathens. But the scriptures never tell us that they had any kind of hesitation about letting them come in and see their child. These people are welcomed in with open arms, and they are allowed to worship the living God. Nobody asked them to account for their past. Nobody asked them to repent before them, before they could enter in to the house where Jesus was living. They are welcomed in when they show up at the door and say, "We wish to worship the living God." Now, if I think about Chuck Colson, I wonder how the world might be different if whenever he got out of prison, if he was not welcomed into the church. What if people would have said, "You know what? We've heard about you. We've heard about all the things you thought about doing and some of the things that you did do. And we don't want you in here." Chuck Colson may be responsible for hundreds, maybe even thousands of people giving their lives to serving Jesus Christ. That might not have ever happened if the church would not have welcomed him in. My friend Ben has made a remarkable turnaround in his life. And I wonder, what would it have been like if he had shown up at church one day and someone said, "You know what, you're not welcome here. We've heard about you. We've heard you're a thief. We've heard that you're a fornicator. And we just don't want you around." But no. He was welcomed in by the church. He was embraced by the church. They showed him love and they allowed him to worship side by side with other people. Ben was not forced to change his appearance. He was not forced to change his outlook. But God changed what was in his heart. And that's all that really matters. So as we look at our church in the year 2008, I ask you the question, who will you welcome to God's house in 2008? For me, I am welcoming to the sorcerers, the astrologers, the heathens. I welcome those with tattoos, with piercings, and I welcome the pastors. I welcome the Chuck Colsons, the people that have threatened to firebomb buildings. All these people are welcome in God's house. Anyone who is seeking to worship the living God is welcome. Let us not judge people based on their outward appearances, but judge them by the content of their heart. Let us not judge people because they are pierced or tattooed, but judge them as brothers, as worthy of being loved. Let us look at 2008 as a chance for us to open up our community to people on the outside, people that we maybe would push away, people that we maybe avoid. May we embrace them in this coming year. May they truly feel welcome here at this church. Because God does call people of all different backgrounds, Jewish, Greek, Christian, God calls them all to seek Jesus Christ. God can use their sinfulness in leading them to Christ, and God will welcome them into his house. It is up to us to welcome them as well. Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving God, we come before you today, the beginning of a new year. And Lord, as we think about New Year's resolutions, as we think of a time of change, we prepare ourselves, Lord, to change for you, to change in the way that you want us to be. And Lord, we know that you are not as interested in outward appearances as you are about what's inside. May that be the case for us as well. Lord, we thank you for your transforming abilities, for the good news that has been received by Chuck Colson, by Ben, and by many others like him. May we continue this process, Lord. May we continue spreading your good news to all the world. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.